Well, you know those times in life where even if you're not that religious of a person, and if you're here with us today, I'm glad you're here, where you're praying and you're kind of hoping and you're just like, I need some answers right now. And you're saying things to God like, God, I just want to know what you want for me. I just want to know your will. I want you to lead me. God, just show me what to do. Anybody maybe have a prayer like that even this week? Yeah, a number of you had a prayer like that this week. I know I do all the time. But then do you notice that somewhere along the way, you begin to notice and start to sense that God might be saying something to you, right? And God kind of, it starts to answer. It could be like an impression maybe, or there's just this overwhelming sense of what you're supposed to do next. Sometimes it may even be an audible answer from God, but you begin to feel this nudge, this direction, a growing awareness of what obedience might look like as God answers your prayer. And instead of bringing peace like you thought it would, it actually brings stress. Do you know that feeling? Where God begins to nudge you and you're like, hold on a second. I know I've been praying about that, but this is not really what I had in mind. Because what you're sensing, it doesn't seem all that easy maybe. Maybe it doesn't feel all that convenient. Maybe it doesn't feel safe. It doesn't line up neatly with what you were hoping God would say. And now you're dealing with this deeper question. Do I do what he's asking me to do, or do I just go my own way? I mean, this is where things get complicated, when we start to ask God for direction in our lives. Because most of us would never say, I don't trust God, right? Like we just sang this song about how much we trust God. And I sense from so many of you, like I do, I trust God, or at least I want to trust God. But maybe even in our trust, we do hesitate. We put the brakes, we delay. We tell ourselves things like, we just need more time. I need a little more clarity. I need more confirmation. And so we continue to pray even as God has already told us what's next. And it's not because we didn't hear, right? Not because we don't know what we're being asked to do next, but because maybe we're hoping the answer will change somehow, right? Maybe I just need to change the wording here, God. Yeah, you know? So we start looking for things like signs, like, God, give me a sign. And I just have this sense of like, God, I'm not going to give you a sign. You know what to do, right? Give me a sign. I need to gather more opinions so that I can confirm my preferred answer. Right. I want to piece together a plan. You know, I'll be obedient, but I want to make sure that it's manageable. I want to make sure that it's predictable. I want to make sure that it's safe and it's within my control. And what's wild is that the whole time we tell ourselves, I'm guilty of this as well, we tell ourselves we're being wise. We're being cautious. I'm just waiting on God. But could it be that what we might call waiting on God is actually more like resisting God? Maybe we're even doing what we think is best when God is simply asking us to wait and be patient. Because to be honest, sometimes it's not that we lack direction, it's that we don't like the direction we're getting. In fact, we don't usually struggle with asking God for wisdom. I think what we struggle with most is trusting God with the wisdom he gives us. Because when God's wisdom becomes specific, when it calls us to forgive, to reach out, to let go, to stay when we'd rather leave, to speak when we'd rather be silent, to wait when we'd rather go, I mean, that's when the real struggle begins. And in that moment, something gets exposed in us. Because often what we really want isn't wisdom. What we really want is certainty, control, a guarantee that everything is going to work out the way we want. Wisdom doesn't always come with a guarantee, does it? It only comes with an invitation. And in that invitation has the power, I believe, to provide us with the direction that will never steer us wrong. And that's where we're going to go today. So if you haven't yet, open up the YouVersion Bible app and you can follow along with me today. As Kylie mentioned, we're in the book of James right now. And we're spending the next 8 weeks, starting last week, all the way until the end of May, going through the book of James. It's one of the smaller books of the Bible. You can read it in one sitting very easily, but it is jam-packed with day-to-day, real-life examples and applications of how we take our faith and put it to work, how it actually can play out in real space, in real time, with real people. Now, it's important to note that James is writing from Jerusalem. He's the pastor of the church in Jerusalem in the first century, but he's writing to believers throughout the Roman Empire. They're scattered all over the world. They're in Rome and Ephesus and Corinth. And he's talking about how this following Jesus business can be a bit of a struggle, that it comes with some challenges. And then he says, when those struggles and those difficulties come, there's something that you're going to need. There's something I'm going to need to keep us moving forward. And it's not relief and it's not escape. What we're going to need, James said, is a good dose of wisdom. And so James begins with the promise as he continues in chapter 1. He says in verse 5, "If you need wisdom," which I think is sort of tongue-in-cheek there, because what he really should have said is, "You need wisdom." But he does say, he says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." Now notice what James does not say here. He does not say, "If you need wisdom, figure it out." He does not say, "If you need wisdom, you're going to need to earn that." He doesn't say, "If you need wisdom, God will shame you for not already knowing." He says, "God is generous, and he will not rebuke you for asking." In other words, some of you need maybe to hear this morning. God is not he is not annoyed by your need today. He's not irritated. He's not threatened with your questions. He's not ashamed of your lack of direction right now. God does not despise you for being unsure. James says the posture of God toward his people is this generous giver. He doesn't operate out of reluctant tolerance towards us. You know, N.T. Wright famously once said that we often imagine God is stingy. And when we imagine God to be the stingy God, we project onto God what we've experienced in petty human relationships. And so that's why James starts here. He says, before you can trust God's wisdom, you have to learn to know and trust God's heart, to trust that he is a generous, giving God. But James doesn't stop with this promise. In verse 6, he goes on, "But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind." James knows something about us. He probably knows something about himself as he's writing this. And that is that we are people who have alternative motives. James makes sure that there's no room for that when he comes to this. He calls us to single-hearted trust into God, to say, "God, I am coming to you as my source, not as one option among many." James is diagnosing what your life feels like when your heart is split in this way, when your loyalty becomes divided, when you pray but you keep your options open, right? "God, give me wisdom, but I'm going to go listen to these podcasts that are contrary to everything you've said prior." And so James describes what happens to us. We become these really unsettled people, blown by the wind, not sure which way to go. And in many cases, we become stuck. We don't know what to do because we're hearing all of these voices and we're not single-heartedly trusting God at His word. And then James doubles down. Verse 7, he says, such people, those with divided loyalties, should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now look, James is not saying God punishes anyone who's had a hard day or has a hard question or needs some guidance. He's saying if you come to God with a secret agenda, you're not truly asking for wisdom, you're asking for endorsement. You're not coming in surrender, you're coming to negotiate. And well, God doesn't really negotiate. Partially because negotiations don't produce wisdom, they produce stalemates. Which is exactly why we often feel so stuck in life. It's not that God isn't willing to give us the wisdom we need. We know that from James. He is generous with His wisdom. It's that we're constantly on the fence with God. God, tell me what I want to hear. Then I will go do it. But if what you tell me is not what I want to hear, well, then I'm going to listen to the podcast, or I'm going to read the book, or I'm going to listen to the friend, or whatever, and maybe I'll take that option. And James is very clear here, right? Like, James does not beat around the bush in the book of James. So if you don't like that, well, get used to it, because the next 6 weeks is a guy just telling it like it is. He's just straight up, here's the truth. But what James says is this: if you're going to be on the fence about this stuff, if your trust is going to be in something other than God simultaneously, you shouldn't expect to get anything from God. James finishes his thought in verse 8. Speaking again of this divided loyalty, he says their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. And notice he comes back to this idea of being divided again. The language here, it conveys this idea of being double-minded or two-spirited. It's a picture of a person who's on the fence or has one foot in and one foot out. They're always weighing their options and hoping whatever it is that God has to say will be acceptable to them. But if they don't have their heart set on something that God has said, well, then they'll go a different direction. But here's the problem, and I think this is what James is really getting at. Here's the biggest problem. When your heart is divided, your direction will be too. A clear path will never be in front of you because God, He cannot speak plainly to you. He is willing and generous with His wisdom, but as long as we're on the fence with God, He can't help you. As long as your heart is divided, well, then the direction of life will be too. You'll feel unstable. You'll feel stuck, misguided. Now, I think I can comfortably say that none of us in this room want to be that person. Stuck, divided, not sure. I mean, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, the intention behind that is that we would be fully surrendered to Him, following Him and carrying out His mission in the world. But I know we all struggle with exactly what James is talking about here. And I know that because I struggle with it. And I know you struggle with it. Amen. We all struggle with having one foot in and one foot out, especially on certain topics in our lives. Maybe it's with that really hard relationship you have. Maybe it's with your finances. I know what I should do. I know what the wise thing is to do. I just don't know if I want to do it. We all struggle with having that divided heart at times. We all struggle with wanting to follow Jesus and the wisdom He provides, but also wanting to look at that, whatever that is, to look the way that we want it to. So the question becomes, how do we become people who are both committed in our allegiance to Jesus and filled with the wisdom that only He can provide? Well, first, it must start with a fully surrendered heart. No more, oh, I'll do it when it's convenient. No more, I'll get to it when I have time. Or, I like the idea of that, but I just don't want to do it that way. Or, I don't like it, so I'm not going to do it. That's not a fully surrendered heart. That is a divided heart. Remember, the reason we need wisdom is because we don't have it. Right? It's interesting. God, give me wisdom. And then when he gives it to him, we basically say, wait, oh, I know better. As if we're the wise ones, right? Stop trying to convince yourself you know better. Right? As James says, God is generous. He'll give you exactly what you need, but you have to fully surrender to that. No half-divided hearts. You can't keep wavering between what God actually has to say and what you want God to say. Second, I cannot emphasize this enough. Wisdom grows where God's word and prayer are welded together. A huge part of hearing God, of hearing wisdom, of receiving that wisdom, is not chasing only an impression or a feeling. It's listening to what God has already said. Tim Keller puts it this way. He says, our prayers, especially when it comes to wisdom, should arise out of an immersion in the Scripture. Because Scripture doesn't merely inform you, right? It transforms you. It renews our minds, and renewed minds recognize God's will and wisdom more clearly. Oftentimes, if people come to me and they say, I feel like God is X, Y, and Z. Now, that's not a bad thing, but my next question to them is, well, what has God said about that? Not what you want him to say about that. What has God already said about that? So, for instance, if you were to come to me and say, I feel like God is telling me to move in with my girlfriend, I would say, that is not God. Because that is not wise. I could give you a myriad of reasons why. And also, it goes against what he has already said. Does that make sense? Right? If you come to me and you say, well, I feel like God doesn't want me to give money to his mission, I would say, well, you're misguided. You're only hearing what you want to hear, because what God has already said is the exact opposite. This is why it's so important that we understand Scripture, that we meld and weld prayer and Scripture together. Our prayers should arise out of immersion in the Scripture. Paul says in Romans, let God transform you by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. So if you're asking, God, show me what to do, one of the wisest questions you can ask is, God, what are you showing me in your word about who you are, what you love, and what you call good? Those will give you some answers. Third, essential, if we're going to be wise people and take what James is saying to us, wisdom is often clarified through wise counsel. James is not teaching isolated spirituality here. He's not saying if you go up on a mountaintop and you pray for a little bit, God is going to just give you the wisdom you need and you're going to know exactly what you need to do next. Instead, the church, the Bible, historically, is wrapped up in this idea that our faith is communal. It is expressed in and lived out in the context of community. Across Scripture, God regularly uses the wisdom of others to help us. Right? Proverbs 15:22, it says, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. And by the way, when you ask someone for counsel, and this might sound silly to say, but I need to say it. When you ask someone for counsel, ask for counsel. Let me explain what I mean. Don't go to those you trust to give godly wisdom, who trust those people that you trust will give you godly wisdom. Don't go to them and tell them what you're going to do. That is not asking for counsel. That is telling them, I'm going to do this and I want you to endorse it. Don't do that. Or don't go to them and try to manipulate them to say what you want to hear. Does this make sense to any of you? Oftentimes people will come to me and they want guidance, but really what they want is they want my endorsement. And so they won't ask me for counsel. They'll say, Pastor, this is what I'm going to do. Okay. I can't speak into that situation. I couldn't help you if I wanted to. You've already made up your mind, even if I disagree. So if you're going to ask for counsel, which you should, ask for counsel. Hey, I sense that God is leading me in this way. Will you speak into that right now? Like, does that jive with you? Do you feel like that's something I could do or I should be doing? Are you humble enough to get that counsel, to receive that from someone else? Be discerning with what they say, but be open, right? Tell them what you're feeling and sensing and hearing, but humbly ask them their thoughts. And then lastly, you got to move, right? Take some obedience steps. James' entire letter keeps pushing us toward greater obedience, not just good intentions. He will say later about God's word, you must do what it says. Same as simple as that. And 99% of the time, God's guidance is not a lightning bolt experience, nor will it almost ever be a picture of the whole story. So we're called simply to obey what we already know, to take a step in the right direction, and allow God to continue to provide wisdom to us as we follow Him. And along the way, I cannot emphasize this enough, do not lose sight of God's generosity. God is generous. He's not irritated. Jesus told us, ask, seek, knock, all grounded in the goodness of the Father who gives good gifts to His children. He wants to dispense wisdom to you. He just is asking you not to have a divided heart as you do. The author of Hebrews says we are invited to come boldly before God to receive mercy and grace when we need it most. So if you feel ashamed that you don't know what to do, welcome to the club, because most of us don't know what to do some of the time. And James says, stop hiding, instead ask, because you are the child of a generous God. If you're feeling stuck today, James would push you to ask not only what decision is in front of me, but also to ask what loyalties are competing inside of me. Because James knows when your heart is divided, your direction will be too. When you came in this morning, there was a little index card here. I want you to grab that. We have a little participatory moment in the sermon this morning. Okay? Grab that. Grab a pen. There should be one on the seat back in front of you. If you're in the front seat, just reach over and grab one. I see you, Matt. You can do it. I want you to do something for me this morning. Grab a pen. On the top of this card, I want you to write, God is generous. Write, God is generous. And then in the rest of the card, I want you to write down the one thing, and there may be a lot of them, okay? But I want you to write down the one thing that right now you need wisdom for more than anything else. Whatever it is, there's no wrong answer here. That one thing, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's your job, your finances, your family, your health, I don't know. Just take a moment and write that down. When you're finished, I want you to just hold that card in your hand and close your eyes. And I want you to spend a moment in prayer. And as you do, I want you to ask God for His generous wisdom. And it might be that this morning you need to confess that your loyalties have been divided. And that this morning you are making a decision to be fully surrendered to Him. And so I want to invite you, if you would, just bow your head, close your eyes, and spend a moment in prayer, asking Him for His generous wisdom in that particular area of your life. Now, I want you to take this card with you this week. And I want you to put it somewhere that you're going to see it regularly. Okay, so maybe you put it, if you have a day planner, if you've got a Bible you read every morning, or you can put it in your car. Just don't cover your speedometer. It's a bad idea. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it. And every day, every moment that you come across it, I want you to remind yourself of a couple things. One, God is generous. That God cares deeply about dispensing wisdom to you about that particular situation. And that He is good to do so. But then to also take stock. Is my heart divided? Am I looking to other sources to give me the answers that you've already given me? So keep it with you this week. Keep praying. Search the scriptures. Talk to someone who might be able to give you some wise counsel, who's been there before. Take a small step of obedience and listen. And as those nudges come along, respond. Don't ignore them. Respond to them. I regularly say at our church that Jesus never asked us to do something He didn't first do Himself. And I have to imagine, I can only imagine what would have happened if Jesus would have been double-minded. If His heart had been divided. What if Jesus would have been on the fence about the mission He came to accomplish, His calling in life? As I look at one of His most famous prayers, as He asked God's wisdom in what could have only been the most stressful moment of His life, just before He is arrested and sentenced to death, Jesus prays, "Father, please take this cup of suffering. Yet I want Your will to be done, not mine." Now notice, Jesus isn't hiding His true feelings here, right? Like, if there's any other way, God, let's do it. But yet, I will not allow my heart, my loyalty to be divided. He isn't puffing Himself up. This is a moment of true vulnerability for Jesus. And yet His heart remains pure. He will do whatever is asked or required of Him. And I think we can all say we are grateful for the single-hearted Son who trusted His Father. So here's the invitation. Bring God your dilemma. And ask for wisdom. Bring Him your real fear and ask for help. Bring Him your divided places and confess them. Bring Him your whole self and trust Him, because you may not get the full blueprint, you may not get the whole story, but you will, God promises, get His generous wisdom. And you'll get a Father who gives generously without reserve, and a Savior who is wisdom in and of Himself. Let's pray. Father, how we need wisdom. It's tough at times to even determine the smallest of steps. And so I pray, God, that You would enable us to be people who are single-minded in our loyalty and our devotion to You. That we would be able to discern between Your voice and all the other voices of this world. And God, that ultimately Your voice would be loudest in our life. That we would vulnerably come before You, humbly before You, and ask for wisdom in ways that we cannot get it or receive it anywhere else. Lord, I pray that You would challenge those areas of our life where we may be divided. Push back against those ways that we're not asking for wisdom from You out of a pure heart, but a divided heart, one with alternative motives and secret agendas and a willingness, trying to manipulate what You might say to fit what we want it to be. God, just allow us to be people who hear Your voice plainly and obey. Thank you for Jesus, who put on display in real time what it looks like to be single-minded, to be fully surrendered to you. And may we follow in his footsteps all the days of our life. In your name, amen.